commemorate this particular day, and also Srila Prabhupada instructed us. Got to tighten that up. No, that's right. Okay. Srila Prabhupada instructed us to also keep Jayananda Prabhu's photograph on the Rathyatra cart, particularly Subhadra's cart. When Srila Prabhupada would ride in the Rathyatra, he would always ride on Subhadra's cart, and has the middle cart. And there's a, of course, we usually keep now a murti or deity of Srila Prabhupada in front of the deity or murti of Srila Prabhupada. Is the deity, or not deity, but the picture of Jayananda Prabhu. Because Jayananda Prabhu would always be controlling that particular cart and steering that cart in front of Prabhupada. So. So another important point before we start speaking about Jayananda Prabhu's life was that this is very not very much known by the devotees, that Jayananda Prabhu desired to leave this world before Srila Prabhupada left this world. And therefore he left in May of 1977, and Srila Prabhupada disappeared in November of 1977. So this is much, very much reminiscent of the story of the passing of Haridas Thakur. I think most of you know that story, where Haridas Thakur also prayed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he didn't want to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's final pastimes or disappearance pastimes. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged that Haridas Thakur would pass away from this world before he himself passed away from this world. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the disappearance celebration for Haridas Thakur, and in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced with Haridas Thakur's body and personally arranged for the festival. And it's very similar, of course, you know, Prabhupada obviously didn't dance with Jayananda Prabhu's body, but it's very similar in the sense that Prabhupada actually wrote a letter of condolence, which we'll read in a little while, for Jayananda Prabhu. And we don't find that Prabhupada has done that, I guess, with anyone else that I can remember. Because Jayananda Prabhu had a very special relationship. So this is Srila Prabhupada's instruction that we will celebrate or commemorate this particular day. So we'll make reference to two biographies that have been written, one by Kalakanta Prabhu, another one by another godbrother of mine. So Jayananda is described was a, they described as an all-American boy. I don't even know what that means anymore, because nowadays, all-American doesn't mean anything. But anyway, he was handsome and tall and very intelligent, and he had a degree from the university in mechanical engineering. So he ended up, of course, as a taxi cab driver in San Francisco. So you're all following in his footsteps here, in Jayananda's footsteps. I also, before I joined the movement, I was a taxi cab driver. I finished with the university, and then I drove a taxi. So it's param param. So, that's perfectly all right. And actually, practically all the money I earned from driving a taxi went to the Hare Krishna movement. Because then I joined, and I gave it all to the Hare Krishna movement. Very nice. So that's also an example you should all follow. So Kurandar, who was one of Prabhupada's main assistants, temple president in Los Angeles and GBC for some time, he asked Jayananda why he didn't take a better job. And Jayananda, being very humble, said, "I didn't fit in with the higher class crowd." He was a very, very humble devotee. I mean, this is what we always experience with Jayananda, and that was my personal experience, was that he would be taking the most humble service. For example, one time I went to the San Francisco temple, and I asked where Jayananda was, and they said he's underneath the car, fixing the car, you know, changing the oil or something to do with the engine. And so I went to the car, and his feet were sticking out, and I had a conversation with him as he was underneath the car, getting all dirty and fixing the engine. And another famous story, of course, is the story where someone came to the Krishna Consciousness Temple and they started talking to the garbage man. And garbage man happened to be Jayananda, you know, the person who was taking out the garbage. And the person came into the temple, and he said, wow, if your garbage men are like that, you know, what to speak of the other devotees in the temple? So Jayananda always assumed the most humble role. Of course, that's a very good example for us, that the more advanced you get in Krishna consciousness, the more you should think of serving, not that the more you enjoy material opulence and stop serving and get served. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that to the topmost extent, that when he took sannyas, it's not like modern-day sannyasis eating on silver plates and everything like that. Like we were talking, last night about this, because they served me a prasadam on a silver plate. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would take on a leaf plate, and when they wanted to give him a bed, there was Jagarananda Pandit wanted to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu some nice cushion and everything like that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. And when Jagannanda Pandit wanted to give Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this sandalwood oil, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. And, of course, Jagannanda Pandit got very angry at that particular point. And that was his relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the point being is, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, is it Vairagya Vijaya Niji Bhakti Yoga Shiksharta Eka Shara Padama, that Lord Chaitanya has come to teach renunciation and knowledge. Give us renunciation knowledge. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Shrivira Dhari. Lord Krishna has appeared in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kripam Bhuri Yastram Aham Prapadya. He is the most merciful, and we are surrendering unto him. So the point is, the more one advances in Krishna consciousness, the less one should think that he's the master. He should think he's the servant. So that's a symptom of advancement. One thinks that they're a servant. So Jayananda perfectly characterized this particular mood. So he described that he was never happy before joining the Krishna consciousness movement, and he was actually extremely depressed. So in 1967, he read an article in San Francisco paper about an Indian Swami who had come to the San Francisco area. It was called the Bay Area. You know, the Bay Area means like Oakland and San Francisco, two big cities. And Jayananda felt very hopeful when he read this, and he made up his mind to go attend Prabhupada's lectures. And so when he went to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, he was surprised because he was the only one, basically, who dressed nicely. Everybody else was a hippie. You know, Jayananda, there's some pictures of him, but there's Jayananda had a tie and a jacket because he wanted to be respectful to Srila Prabhupada. Whereas everybody else in San Francisco in those days was like the center of the hippie revolution. I don't know if any of you know what hippies are. But Prabhupada said something wonderful, you know, probably being a little sarcastic about it. So hippies meant they had flowers, even the men, long hair. Sometimes the men had all the way down to their waist, the hair, and flowers in their hair, and little like gopi dots. Or whatever, you know, little flowers painted there, and basically smoking marijuana, doing so many other things that we can't even mention in class. So Jayananda was the only one who actually looked half decent, at least according to regular standards. And Jayananda said, I wasn't much of a religionist, this is a quote from him, but I was very attracted to Srila Prabhupada, and he would go to Srila Prabhupada's early morning lectures. And sometimes, because the hippies, they would get up late in the morning, because they'd be up all night long, no hippies would attend a lecture. It'd only be Jayananda listening to Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Pretty nice, isn't it, to have that mercy? And Prabhupada was always fond of Jayananda, and he would invite Jayananda oftentimes to his room to take prasadam with him. And Srila Prabhupada not only would invite Jayananda to take prasadam with him, but Prabhupada would personally serve Jayananda prasadam. And that's also very, very special mercy. And this is another quote. He said, Srila Prabhupada would cook prasad and serve me. He didn't say anything. He just kept feeding me and I kept eating. And that's that. That's what Srila Prabhupada did in the early days. I mean, just imagine, here is someone so exalted, coming from the spiritual world, coming from Goloka Vrindavan, and he's just serving these hippies. You know, the lowest creatures on the earth planet, basically speaking. The hippies. So, actually, talking about hippies, you know, because they were smoking marijuana, but Prabhupada said, Not that you should all be so proud, but the marijuana smoking came from India. So that was one of India's main contributions to the American scene, was marijuana. It's true. I mean, Prabhupada said that. So Jayananda soon donated his whole life savings of $5,000 to Prabhupada. And he continued to work as a cab driver to support all the devotees in the temple and contributed all of his earnings to support the devotees. And some other interesting stories, like Tamal Krishnamaraj was there too. And Tamal Krishnamaraj, he worked in the Eastman Kodak factory unpacking film, you know, so when they would develop film. You remember what film was? You know, they used to have cameras with film in them. And so he would work in the Eastern Kodak. So many of the devotees worked on the outside to support the temple. So that's not at all unusual, like what's happening here, because there wasn't any. At that time, there wasn't so many donations coming into the temple. And at that time, there weren't so many people from India and America. That came on late. That was later. So if you had a hundi box in front of the deities, practically nothing would be in there. And there wouldn't be any sponsorship of Sunday feast. There wouldn't be any sponsorship of anything, because basically there wasn't a congregation. You know, everybody was, you know, part of the, you know, the temple, or living in the temple. So Jayananda was very attached to the process of Krishna consciousness. He would always rise every morning, even though he was either driving a taxi or sometimes he would be selling incense to support the temple. He'd rise every morning by 4 o'clock, and he'd have a little mangalarti even when he was traveling. And he would chant his rounds and cook prasadam, and he was completely devoted and happy with the process of Krishna consciousness. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? The sadhana. As it's described also about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the sadhana was like lines on a stone. So Jayananda's was also. Lines on a stone means you can't eradicate the lines on a stone. You understand that example? So he loved prasadam, though. Even if a little prasad spilled on the floor, he would bend down and take that prasadam and lick it up. He was so much respectful to prasadam. And he also loved to cook, offer and distribute and eat prasadam in a very big way. And I remember cooking with him in the kitchen many, many years ago. Yeah, we didn't have mobile phones many years ago either. Nice.
You're much more humble.
So I remember cooking with him in the kitchen. It was in San Diego. We were cooking for a Lord Chaitanya festival. And we were cooking halava, and it was about 8 o'clock at night, and I was completely tired. And I said to Jayananda, you know, I can't go on anymore. I'm just tired. Go take rest, he said. So I went to take rest. And when I woke up in the morning, he was still cooking. And then he participated the whole next day in the festival. I mean, he had so much energy. It was incredible. And also he would be buying all the boga, too. Not only would he cook, he'd be a one-man temple. He'd buy the boga, collect donations, give out prasadam while he was buying the boga, or getting boga donated. Actually, he wouldn't buy. He would practically get all the temple boga donated. He would, especially bananas. He had a friend called Banana Louie at the fruit market, and he would get truckloads of bananas. And he would distribute so much prasadam, he would attract so many people with prasadam. He would make sure that all the devotees were sumptuously fed, and he would bring this one devotee. The story here is that Jambavan, he brought him a prasadam plate every day so big that he couldn't finish it all. And then he gave him a second plate. And then he would quote, Jayananda Prabhu would quote, that Srila Prabhupada said that we should eat until we waddle like a duck. And Srila Prabhupada actually said that in the beginning, when you first joined Krishna consciousness, you should eat so much that you waddle. And many of us follow that instruction in the early days. I remember myself eating so much that I had to lay down for like a half an hour and screaming in pain after the Sunday feast. It was very wonderful. And Jayananda would eat large quantities of prasadam. Even at 10 o'clock at night, he'd be found with peanut butter halva, which was his favorite preparation. And he would call the devotees over and he says, "Hey, Prabhu, come here, check this out." He also loved kirtan. Every day, he would take the Sankirtan party out for the Harinam kirtan and be chanting on the streets. He'd always be seen chanting and dancing enthusiastically. And when he went to people's homes, he would have big kirtans in their homes. Even if there were only two people, he would have the other person and himself just jumping up and down in the home in ecstasy, chanting Nittai Gaur Haribol. So even one day after working 10 hours straight, the story says here, that Jayananda announced, "Hey, it's 10 to 7 at night. Let's all go to RTE." Everyone went to RTE. Jayananda jumped up and down and bounced around the temple room during the RTE. And he was most attached to preaching. So even when he went out on his incense runs or while building the Ratha Yatra carts, Jayananda was always trying to find some person to preach to. And he preached in a very simple fashion. I attended some of his classes. There wasn't so much sophistication, and there wasn't any quoting of Sanskrit verses, because he just, for some reason or other, couldn't remember any Sanskrit verses. He would always preach about the holy names and say you have to have faith in the holy names, you have to trust in the holy names. And even there's that one story Tamal Krishnamaraj told me, that one time he and Jayananda were together, and it was time for Gayatri Mantra. And so they both chanted Gayatri Mantra, and Jayananda only took 2 minutes to chant his Gayatri Mantras. And Tamal Krishnamaraj said, "You know, what are you doing? How can you chant so fast?" And Jayananda said, "You know, I don't actually know the Gayatri Mantras." And Tamal Krishnamaraj said, "What? But you got Gayatri Mantra from Prabhupada." He said, "Yes, Prabhupada tried to teach me, but I was unable to learn." And so Prabhupada said, "Just think of me while you're holding your thread out." So that was his Gayatri Mantra, and that was his perfection. Because Krishna is impressed by bhakti. It's not that we should be, of course, sloppy in our performance of bhakti in the name of devotion. But Krishna is actually impressed by devotion, not by expertise. And there's even this story about one time there was a devotee of Krishna. He was offering banana peels to Krishna instead of bananas. You know, he's peeling the bananas and throwing the banana away and offering the peel to Krishna. But because it was offered with love and devotion, Krishna accepted. So Jayananda had so much love, and he wasn't so much into the details, even to the extent of learning the Gayatri Mantra. Pretty amazing. And still, he became a pure devotee. Interesting. So, of course, Jayananda would continually preach. This is a quote from him. "You know, things don't always just go right in Krishna consciousness. You just have to keep on chanting." He's also very attractive to non-devotees in his preaching. Oh, there's this story. One time at 11:30 at night, Jayananda was fixing up a broken-down Sankirtan van, and he preached to two hippies who were standing by. All they could see was a pair of legs, but they stood listening, completely absorbed as Jayananda worked and preached away. Even in his last days, when what was that disease that he had again?
Leukemia,
that's right. He had leukemia, which is like cancer of the bones. So even in his last days, he was seen preaching to guests from his wheelchair. And he kept saying the same thing. You just have to have faith in Krishna's holy names. Very amazing preaching. Certainly, he was very humble too. Even when he was dealing with new devotees, he would ask the new devotees, "What do you think of this?" And he would take advice from new devotees. And he avoided praise like the plague. One time he was with Dhanavir, who is Dhanavir Maharaj now, and someone came to Jayananda and began praising him. Jayananda just ignored it. Later he turned to Dhanavir and said to him, "You know, if you've been around this movement a few years, people naturally offer you some respect." In other words, he wasn't accepting any of the respect on behalf of himself. He said it's just due to his association with the movement. So he would let others lead kirtan, give classes in Dwarti. Usually he would be found fixing cars, unplugging toilets, washing dishes, or taking out the garbage. So here's the story I just told. Once a new boy came to visit the San Francisco temple, he wanted to help, so Keshava Maharaj, Keshava Prabhu, sent him to the trash area where Jayananda was preparing the weekly trash run. Jayananda told the boy, "I'm the garbage man around here." Jai Shishi Radha Kanta, Shishi Gornatai, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra. "For years I've been watching the garbage man carry out trash, and now Krishna is giving me a chance to do this for him." So the boy went with Jayananda to the garbage dump, and that boy became a devotee, and he was thinking, if the garbage man at this temple can be so blissful, just imagine what the rest of the devotees are like. There's another instance of Dayananda's humility. Is another story. One day before Rath Yatra, this devotee spent the whole day running around with Jayananda. By the time they got back to the temple, it was midnight. The whole building was so crowded that we couldn't find any place to lie down. Finally, we found a room in one little storage closet. I was so tired that all I could do was throw my sleeping bag on the floor and lie down. Then I saw Jayananda walking out of the room. I asked him, "Where are you going?" He said he'd be right back, but I kept pressing him. And finally, he explained that he had some rounds of japa to finish. He didn't want to keep me up. He wanted to finish his vow. Although perfectly qualified, Jayananda never accepted or was reluctant to take the post as temple president or sannyasi. He would do whatever he was asked to do. And even though he never took a high position, he was the backbone of the Bay Area, that San Francisco and Oakland area's temple, for many years. He would always faithfully serve whoever was the temple president, and that's the way he liked things. So he was ready to do anything that he was asked to do. Deity worship, public relations, sankirtan, selling incense, construction, everything it takes to run a temple. He was tireless and the last one to sleep every night. He ran out to get the flowers, he washed the dishes, made sure the kitchen was clean, and he was always doing some service. Whatever assignment he was given, he would do. Here's a quote from a devotee. "First, Jayananda would be in the kitchen cleaning, then someone would say, 'Hey,' about the leftover prasadam, and then Jayananda would say, 'Let's clean the kitchen first.' He would organize the cleanup crew and then work twice as hard as anybody. Then he would transfer the prasad, load it into the van, and the devotees and he would drive the van to Berkeley, and they distribute prasad and lead the kirtan while they distribute it." Later on in life, he was with the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, and he would help manage and sustain the Sankirtan party and lead the brahmacharis and distribute books. And Shamal Krishnamara said he's the most advanced devotee in the Hare Krishna movement, because he traveled with him. And he was adverse to fault-finding. If some devotee criticized another devotee, Jayananda would completely ignore that. And if he saw a devotee commit a mistake, he would actually ignore that particular mistake. He never spoke harsh words or chastised anyone. If one devotee was criticizing another within the earshot of Jayananda, Jayananda would leave that situation. The temple leaders would always assign new devotees to work with Jayananda. He saw no distinction between new devotees and old devotees. He was a true Vaishnava. He was expert at fanning the spark of Krishna consciousness into a big fire. And he made more devotees and helped pull many through Krishna consciousness than anyone else in the movement. He was dear to both the ruffians and the gentle, just like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Dira dira jana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito. He was just as much at home with the Italians at the produce market as with the brahmacharis in the temple. And the people would come up to the devotees at Sankirtan when they were doing Sankirtan and say to them, "Where's my old friend Jayananda?" And even if they couldn't pronounce the word Jayananda, they would say Johnny Ananda. They thought his name was Johnny Ananda. And they would say, that man is the nicest and most pure man I've ever met. And these are non-devotees saying that. One man told another devotee, well, I don't know much about your philosophy, but if that Jayananda is into it, it must be all right. One time they were working on the Rath Yatra cart, and Jayananda invited another devotee, Keshava, to step inside a bar and meet some of his friends. They walked inside the bar, and there were 25 people drinking there. And they each looked up and said, oh, this must be your friend you were telling us about, the temple president. And these people in the bar presented the two devotees with a sack full of groceries, which they had chipped in together to buy. In other words, people were getting drunk. They were friendly with Jayananda. So he was dear to the non-devotees and the devotees alike. And he was like a big brother for all the devotees. And the devotees said, when you were around Jayananda, you had no problems. He had a great sense of humor. Sometimes he would wake up the devotees in the middle of the night and say, wake up, I've got a big benediction for you. And then he would push a big samosa into the devotees' mouths. Pretty nice. He was expert in engaging everyone in Krishna consciousness. Whenever a new bhakta would come, he would make him feel that that new bhakta was engaged in the most important work. And this is especially evident during the time of the Rath Yatra festival. He would organize a crew of cynics and what we call bloopers. I don't know if you know what that means. I mean, people who left the Krishna conscious movement, uncooperative people, negative people, non-devotees off the streets, and all of them helped build the Rath Yatra cart. Pretty good. And he would get these people to work 14 hours a day on the cart. One time, this is an interesting story, one time he and another devotee were struggling to load a heavy refrigerator onto a truck. Two drunks were walking up in the alley, and Jayananda said, I'm going to give them a chance to do some devotional service. He was so enthusiastic that his enthusiasm was contagious, and the drunks started helping, and the job was done in no time. Now, he said to the drunks, say Hare Krishna. Say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jai Hari Bol. Thank you, fellas. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Pretty amazing. And he was also very frugal. He never wanted to spend Krishna's money. So when he was on the road selling incense, he would sleep in a car instead of sleeping in a hotel or sleep in someone else's home. He would get huge quantities of boga, flour, lumber, paint, and everything else for Rath Yatra donated. We should have devotees do that here. Then the Rath Yatra won't cost money, right? So one time, there were hundreds of devotees at the temple to feed just before the festival, so Jayananda went to see one of his famous friends at the produce market. I mentioned this person's name. His name was Banana King Louie. And he came back with 4 free truckloads of bananas and first-class pineapples. And they had donated milk products, so they had bananas, pineapples, and cream, as much as anyone could eat, all for free. He could get practically anything for free. He got printing for free, advertising for free, and whatever he couldn't get for free, he'd get at a discount. And at the end of the festival, he'd rent a big truck with which to haul all the equipment back to the temple. And although the devotees would be exhausted after weeks of hard work, he would insist that everyone come out and help pack away things, and then lest he have to keep the truck another day and pay another $50 rent. Even though he was a senior devotee, he always dressed in old dhotis and work clothes, which he'd buy for $1 per set at the Salvation Army thrift store. How many of you buy your clothes at the Salvation Army thrift store? None of you. Imagine this. You know, very, very wonderful devotee. So, of course, he organized the Rath Yatras, and he was the one who was singularly most responsible for organizing Rath Yatras in ISKCON at that time. Of course, all the Rath Yatras in ISKCON at that time were in the United States. That's where Prabhupada started having Rath Yatra. The first one was in San Francisco, and Prabhupada had it on the back of a pickup truck. or a flatbed truck. That was the first Rath Yatra. And the way Lord Jagannath came to San Francisco was very interesting. There was this devotee, Malati. I don't know if any of you know Malati. I think she's listening here, right? So Malati, Malati had gone into this import store, and she had gotten a two-finger discount. I'm not going to tell you what that means. On something that, you know, a little tiny figure. What is that? It was about this small. Two-finger. I mean, I won't tell you what she did. So she took it back and showed it to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, because they called Prabhupada Swamiji at that particular time, what is this? And Prabhupada offered his obeisances to that little figure, and that figure was Lord Jagannath. And Prabhupada said, Lord Jagannath has now come to America, has now come to San Francisco. So that's why Srila Prabhupada instructed them to do Rath Yatra there. In San Francisco, because Lord Jagannath manifested by himself. And then he said to Malati, are there any other figures like this or figurines like this? And she said, yes, there's a whole barrel full. So there was a barrel full of figures of Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra, somehow or other at this import store. I think it was Pier 1. You ever heard of Pier 1 imports? Anyway, that's an old store. And the devotees got them all, and the devotees started wearing them around their necks, which is, you know, highly unusual to wear Lord Jagannath. So they had a little pouch, and they kept Lord Jagannath around their necks. And it was interesting. Even one of my godbrothers recently, his name was Mukunlal. I don't know if any of you know him. Yeah, Mukunlal. Yeah, he started, before he took sannyas, he always carried Lord Jagannath around, like, on his belly. He had, like, a strap. Anyone seen that, him do that? Yeah. So he had like a strap, and he had Lord Jagannath who was carrying around. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada himself celebrated Rath Yatra when he was 5 years old. He had his own Rath Yatra in Calcutta. So you can see that, you know, Jayananda organized the first Rath Yatra. So Jayananda was instrumental in carrying out Srila Prabhupada's, one of Srila Prabhupada's internal moods, which is the worship of Lord Jagannath. We mentioned this before, you do everything to organize for the festival. And he would take cake and pie and give it to each and every person who was helping during the festival. He would sleep at the site where the Rath Yatra carts were being constructed. And still he would rise every day at 4 a.m., even if he only got 3 hours of sleep at night. And he would cook prasadam for the whole crew on a little gas stove. Jayananda regarded his final Rath Yatra, the 1976 festival in New York, as the most successful. Here's his quote from him. He said, somehow or other, I got the good fortune to work on the New York Rath Yatra. It was such an auspicious opportunity. Prabhupada was coming there. It was finally a first-class center in Manhattan, and somehow Toshan got an okay to use the Fifth Avenue for the parade route. Jambavan was there, and we had a couple of other boys who worked hard. I was praying that somehow or other we could just get the carts finished. Somehow, by Krishna's grace, it worked out. You wouldn't have believed it, some of the events. The night before the festival, Saturday, at about 5 or 6 p.m., we were raising Balaram's dome, and it was at the top when a huge gust of wind caught it and blew the whole thing over. Everything was busted. I didn't see how we could rectify the situation, as there was so much to do on the other two carts. But two devotees who were expert builders vowed they'd get it back together. Anyway, this is his description of how he was able to get the carts together by 6:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And Jayananda said, there's no place like New York for Rath Yatra. The parade was tremendous. Even when we pulled the carts back to the construction site, people would come out of their apartments and bars and chant Hare Krishna. And he said, I guess that occasion was the perfection of my relationship or my career in Krishna consciousness. Jayananda said of Prabhupada, here's some more quotes, I knew he didn't want to cheat me as though I wanted to work for him. And Jayananda usually kept a very low profile in his relationship with Prabhupada, and he was off working on some project when Srila Prabhupada would come to San Francisco. But Srila Prabhupada would always call for Jayananda when he arrived in San Francisco. Sometimes he would have to make repeated requests, and Jayananda was finally located but he would resist by saying, no, I can't go to see him. I'm too dirty. I'm too fallen. He'd work after the festivals and let others see Srila Prabhupada. Jayananda's relationship with Prabhupada was always out of service. And one time a devotee asked Jayananda, how does one make spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness? Jayananda answered, I don't know. I'm too busy working to think about it. And of course, that was what Srila Prabhupada said. Work now and samadhi later. So many phones. I mean, for at least a few minutes, we could turn off our phones. Prabhupada always appreciated Jayananda's sincere endeavor to please him. And here's a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda. I was very happy to get your recent letter. I'm always thinking of you and praying to Krishna for your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yes, I remember the old days in San Francisco. Krishna has been so kind upon me to have sent so many sincere disciples to help push on this movement on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. You continue with your program there in San Francisco, always strictly keeping our principles, and Krishna will bless you with greater and greater realization of the importance of this movement. I am dependent upon you, my older disciples, to carry it on. I hope this meets you well. So Jayananda finally met. The final meeting with Srila Prabhupada was in New York at the 1976 Rath Yatra. Jayananda drove Srila Prabhupada's car, and Prabhupada asked from the back seat, who is driving? The devotee said, this is Jayananda. And Prabhupada said, oh, I know Jayananda. He gave me $5,000 to print my Bhagavad Gita. Now, one interesting thing is that, it's not mentioned here in this biography, that when Jayananda was very, very sick and ready to leave his body, he had about $5,000 more for his medical treatment. And guess what he did with it? He gave it to Prabhupada instead of spending it on his medical treatment. So, let's see. Jayananda, some more qualities of Jayananda before we finish up this pastime. Jayananda was fearless, he was big and powerful, and he would protect the devotees on Sankirtan. One time, the devotees on Sankirtan were attacked by a man who was 7 feet tall and weighed 300 pounds. He had a big beard and was drunk, and he was an old veteran. That's the most dangerous type of person. So this monster marched up to Jayananda. He turned and began to shout, stop that chanting. Jayananda looked at him straight in the eye and said, just chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna. Well, to everyone's amazement, the drunk walked away. So the ultimate expression of Jayananda's fearlessness was at the end of his life when he had leukemia and the cancer of the lymph glands. He wrote from the hospital, I was out of the hospital for a month going to the clinic, and now I am back for a couple of weeks in intensive treatment. Actually, the whole thing was a real blessing as it made me realize that death is right at hand. Somehow, I need those potent reminders to help me advance in Krishna consciousness. For the time I was in the temple, I was appreciating Krishna consciousness so much more than ever. So it's a real blessing. So Jayananda never succumbed to fear or self-pity during his final days. When his old friends would come to see him and see he had a very withered form, he was very thin, they would find it very hard to talk their way, to talk about anything else other than his condition. Jayananda was completely disinterested in this, in his own physical condition, and instead he was talking about how to perform Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. He would sit on the lawn in Los Angeles on his wheelchair, and he looked like practically death personified, and he could not stop thinking and talking about Rath Yatra. And Jayananda was completely fearless in the face of death. And so he pushed on the Los Angeles Rath Yatra until he was so weak he could no longer pick up the phone and ask people for donations. He actually collected a large amount of Lakshmi for the Los Angeles Rath Yatra. And the festival devotees admitted that they would not have been able to perform the Rath Yatra without Jayananda's help. Thus he proved that by engaging in Krishna consciousness, you become fearless, especially fearless of the fear from death, free of the fear from death. Srila Prabhupada said that everyone should follow the example of Jayananda. Let's see. And so I'm going to read the letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote, finally. Srila Prabhupada said, my dear Jayananda, this is in 5th of May, 1977, after Jayananda passed away. I am feeling very intensely your separation. In 1967, you joined me in San Francisco. You were driving my car and chanting Hare Krishna. You were the first man to give me some contribution, $5,000, for printing my Bhagavad Gita. After that, you rendered very favorable service to Krishna in different ways. I hope at the time of your death, you were remembering Krishna, and as such, you've been promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. If not, if you have any tinge of material desire, you've gone to the celestial kingdom to live with the demigods for many thousands of years and enjoy the most opulent life of material existence. From there, you can promote yourself to the spiritual world. But even if one fails to promote himself to the spiritual world, at that time he comes down again on the surface of this globe and takes birth in a big family like a yogi's or a brahmana's or an aristocratic family where there is a chance again of reviving Krishna consciousness. But as you were hearing Krishna kirtan, I am sure you were directly promoted to Krishna Loka. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham purna janma naiti mam eti saurjuna. Krishna has done a great favor to you, not to continue your diseased body, but has given you a suitable place for your service. Thank you very much. And then Srila Prabhupada also wrote, Jayananda's death is glorious. It is very good that he has stated, what is the use of such a useless body? Better to give it up. He has left his body very wonderfully, and he has been transferred to Vaikuntha Loka. I have already sent a condolence letter for publication in Bhaktivedanta. Everyone should follow the example of Jayananda. I am very proud that I had such a nice disciple. If possible, Jayananda's picture should be hung in the Rath of Lord Jagannath, and in all of our temples, a day may be set aside for holding a festival in his honor, just as we do on the disappearance day of other great Vaishnavas. And that's a letter to Ramaswar, 11th of May, 1977. Jayananda Prabhu Ki Jai. So any questions or comments about Jayananda? Anybody have any other remembrances of Jayananda?
Yeah.
I just remember his tirelessness, the cooking and the festivals. It was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, every interaction I had with him, especially Jai, Shishi, Radha Radhakanta, Gordachai, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, every interaction I ever had with him, he never showed any tiredness. I mean, just like so enthusiastic and so blissful and so loving with the devotees. And when he would meet someone, he would embrace them. And he would say, oh, thank you very much for serving Krishna. You know, just so thankful to the devotees. They're just so encouraging. So, any other questions or comments about Jayananda Prabhu? So, we're following Prabhupada's instructions by commemorating his disappearance today. And tonight we'll be speaking about Lord Nrsingadev. So, that'll start at 6 o'clock this evening. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Jayananda Prabhu Ki Jai, Lord Nrsingadev Ki Jai, Hari Bol, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. We had more devotees watching on the internet than were here. Had a lot of people watching this morning. We're broadcasting on Mayapur TV now.
Yeah, most of them, those who are staying outside, in the Mayapur.
Mayapur TV.
Yeah, so I have I have a channel on Mayapur TV now, so they can just watch for the regular class.
Waking up in the LA community.
Yeah.
He gets his alarm clock to begin. And then he turns on the remote TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And he picks up his cards and puts on some TV. He's still in bed. He's in the
yeah, because it's on TV. Yeah, there's this video. I saw that. That's funny.
When I was 20, I usually not able to go every day.
Oh, so they have the Calcutta temple on TV? No.
No, not Calcutta.
The Mayapur. Yeah, you can do Mangalarti in Mayapur. Yeah, yeah. It's nice. It's nice
using more inspired.
It's nice. All over the world, people are watching
you
know, the Holy Dao in Mayapur. It's nice. Today I had a lot of people watching this class. So. All right. Shubhopa, good job.